I got a very exciting delivery in the mail today.
What was it?
It was the Hunger Games book trilogy.
Oh, that is exciting. Did you order that or were you expecting it?
I did. A friend recommended it. We were talking about reading and I've been in such a Hunger Games, like wanting to rewatch the movies. And so I thought, how cool would it be if I read the books first? And I realized I have read one of the books, kind of. I listened to it. So it wasn't really reading, like the audiobook. But yeah, I did
that. Is that really reading? I mean, because I think it's, no, okay.
I mean, I don't think so.
Well,
it's listening.
Right, but it's still getting the knowledge of the book. So,
but it's not reading.
They're two different, true.
The act of reading is pretty black and white.
Right. Yes, exactly. Right. But if you say, literally,
have you read Lord of the Rings? It's like, well, no, I saw the movie. It's still different than I listened to the book. So yes, you are familiar with the book. You've heard the book from beginning to end. So you've kind of
you've heard the book.
Audibly read it.
But the movie is totally different.
So what were you saying? So you
I listened to the third book, Mom, and I think you listened to part of it with me because I believe you also listened to it because we had seen the first two movies and we were waiting for the third. And so instead of reading the first and second, I just read the third book. Listened to the third book. Didn't read it. But now I decided I'm going to read all of them.
Jennifer Lawrence was great in the third book. I thought she did a great job in the book.
Yeah, so good in the third book.
Yeah, I know it.
Loved her choices. Yeah. But I started that this morning, which was exciting. And I can already tell it's going to be such a quick read.
Yeah, they're very disturbing. Simple books.
I feel like I actually did physically read the first book, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, but they're pretty, dark. Serious, dark.
Yeah.
Dark kids books.
Yeah.
You know, there you go. But it's wild. It's a good, great metaphor for what's going on in our world as well. We won't go there.
Gosh,
In fact, let's go somewhere else. In fact, let's start the podcast.
Happy music. Come on.
Roll the music.
Mags and dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and dads, wholesome chaos.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast, Wholesome Chaos here with the Thurman family, and we are so glad that you are in the audience. So, Maggie, speaking of things that are relatively dark and disturbing, one of our koi fish ran away.
Oh.
Yeah, so I guess he just wasn't happy in the pond, and he just left.
He turned into a frog and left.
He returned to the wild. I don't know.
You guys have no idea what happened?
It was one of the gold ones. But we had four koi fish. We had four goldfish, rather large.
The black and white one.
And Mom noticed a suspicious hawk in the vicinity.
Yeah.
And
so he might not have run away. Maybe he flew away.
Yeah, I chased a hawk off the other day. It was so kind of funny. But I saw him like sitting in a tree looking. And I was like, no, you don't. And I ran out there and I said, you are not fishing in my pond. And he flew away. And as I turned back in, I realized my neighbor was standing in his driveway.
That is awesome. And, you guys are making friends quick.
He didn't make eye contact. I just ran back inside.
Yeah. No, I'm sure he picked up on what was going on there.
But I'm getting a owl to put on the fence because they
not a real owl, like a fake owl.
Yeah,
I fake it.
Not a real owl.
Yeah, but she's wondering if that will freak out the fish. If they'll like never want to.
I'm a little worried about that too.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to live and be traumatized or do you want to? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I actually have I think we still have the black owl that we got for Eddie's birthday when we did the Harry Potter theme birthday party.
Yeah.
You try that and put it out there. I think a hawk would know that's not real.
Why don't we take our Halloween little thing of Dracula? You know, that little man that looks like Eddie Munster or Dracula?
Oh, yeah. Just put him up there. Little vampire guy.
Mario.
Little vampire
guy. Isn't his name Mario?
No, Mario's different.
Oh, Mario's a different fake person. Animal. Yes.
Yeah.
Person. I said an animal.
Yeah, exactly. We'll figure it out. Hopefully he won't return to the buffet anytime soon.
That's so sad.
I mean, those fish were there when we moved in, and they've apparently been there a long time. So I was kind of surprised that hadn't happened sooner. And I thought maybe we were immune from it. Like it would never happen. But
Well, they can
unless
mostly,
he's hiding under a rock or
he
something.
He could be. He
but
could
for
be
for a long time.
But I was cleaning the pond and he didn't come out. So.
And the other fish are not talking.
Yeah,
so
they
like
won't,
they're not
giving
tell us anything
away.
You could get like a covering type of thing, you know?
Nah. It's too much trouble. Those things are well, they
I think well, they've been to differ.
I think we just need tougher fish that can defend themselves and each other.
Those are big fish.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He was the
they're expensive too. Like if we replaced that fish, I think it'd be hundreds of dollars. Koi fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe don't do that.
I'm getting an owl.
And apparently they're very tasty. So.
Okay. I lied. I was really hungry and wanted some sushi.
No.
Just kidding.
Oh my goodness.
This is getting dark again.
I just got back from a trip, literally, like within the last 30
hour.
Minutes.
Yeah.
And it was a great trip. Really
fun. I'm always
fun
so
one.
Surprised when you guys want a podcast like later in the day after doing a ton of stuff where I can tend to be pretty flexible. So I'm like, you know, we could do it tomorrow. We could do it when you're better. I guess you
actually,
guys are on a roll.
Yeah, but we got to get it to Eddie so he has time to edit instead of doing it on the weekend.
Yeah. I feel really great though. I feel a lot of energy and I mean, just a great sense of completion, like mission accomplished. This was a really wild trip. I had two speeches within 24 hours, but one of them was in Las Vegas and the other one was in Ocean City, Maryland. So more than 3,000 miles away on the East Coast. So that involved a red eye flight with no sleep
and a delayed
connection with fogged in planes and getting there and then doing it. But, I mean, both speeches went great. And I, it was just an act of surrender. Like I'll be okay in this moment. Cause, that's kind of when, you know, it's not about you when you're off your game or tired or just kind of like whatever. And I always say a prayer before my speech and I'm like, God, you know, just work through me and do your thing and use me as an instrument and have fun. And it's like surrendering to that moment. It's when you kind of know you're part of something bigger in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just how I felt about it.
Yep. And I still say a cheer and a prayer for you.
That always helps. Definitely always helps. So yeah. And then I got home and I got my checked luggage, not from this trip, but from last week. So last week I had a couple speeches, one of them in Houston. And now we ship my equipment ahead of time. So I don't have to, you know, bring it with me. I just travel with a carry-on bag, a roller board, and my computer and my juggling balls and my glow balls, which is another story because those are tricky getting through TSA. But anyway, the unicycle, the knives, the bowling ball, the big stuff, we ship ahead of time. And I have three sets. And so I had three different speeches and we were kind of moving them around like in the same week. One of them is a smaller case that I can take with me on a plane. And so the idea was we shipped that one there and then I brought it back with me on the plane as checked luggage. But then when I landed in Atlanta, I forgot I had checked the luggage and I just went home.
Course of habit.
This was days ago. This is Friday.
Yeah.
And now this is Wednesday.
So
almost a week ago. And I...
Yeah, he calls me. He goes, hey, can you look in the garage and see?
I didn't realize it.
I'm like, yeah, it's not
for
that
days. Like until I went on my next trip and I was thinking... Shouldn't there be something in my car right now? Like, where's that? Actually, Stephanie asked me, she's like, did you bring your case home? I was like, yeah, I brought my case home. Well, almost.
And oh so, my goodness.
Yeah. So I went to the airport on the way back and I didn't even have the boarding pass anymore with the bag number.
Weeks.
It's been
a
long
week.
Time. Yeah. And so I went to the baggage office and I'd called ahead of time and they said, yeah, if it's there, it'll be in the customer service room or the luggage room, baggage services. So I went there and they said, oh, it's in the Atlanta room. Okay. So I go down to the Atlanta room.
Good thing you're in Atlanta.
Yeah. And I walk in and I tell the guy the story and he's like, oh, well, yeah. Like take a peek in here. And I pointed to it immediately because it's very recognizable. It's a blue hard yeah. shell case. And he said, I was just holding that bag. I was just checking on that bag. So it was like all synergistically fit together. And he said, how do I know it's yours? And
I'll
I said, there's a unicycle and knives inside of it. And so to prove it was my bag, I actually had to ride the unicycle and juggle knives for all the Delta baggage handlers.
Did you? No, really you didn't ride the unicycle.
Okay, all right. I made that part up, but the rest of it was totally true.
I can totally see you doing that, but
I would love to do
that. I can, except for the fact that I know that unicycle takes a while to put together and take apart and would not be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt they would hand you the three knives and go, yeah, do something cool.
Yeah, in the airport here. Juggle these machetes.
Doesn't really sound like TSA to me, but I've been wrong before.
Yes. You know what, though? This is not a smooth segue, but if you don't want to be wrong again about finding the right doctor, that was pretty smooth. Then we've got a great service, an incredible partner for you. We're so pleased that ZocDoc is once again sponsoring the Wholesome Chaos podcast. This website is awesome. I mean, if you want to get a high quality recommendation of any particular kind of doctor, I was looking at applied kinesiology today and finding someone near me who had reviews and such. And it's so easy, ZocDoc.com. And it's peer reviewed or reviewed by customers. So you can see the ratings and read the recommendations. Maggie, you had some experience with this, right?
Yeah, I kid you not. I was talking with friends just a few days ago about like, ugh, we gotta find doctors out here. Cause a lot of us, this like we're not from LA, and so we don't have our doctors out here. We're at that age where we're kind of finding our own doctors because we don't have our parents taking us. And we were just talking about how lost we are in that, and particularly me, because I have to get my wisdom teeth out soon, and I'm scrambling a little bit, but I thankfully was able to suggest ZocDoc to them because I've used it before.
Absolutely. I mean, a group chat or just kind of random friends, it's not necessarily the best way to get doctor advice, right? So you go to ZocDoc and you can, it's absolutely free, by the way. It's really amazing. And you can find what you're looking for. So you're going to give it a shot.
ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun.
Yeah. And what you do is you see the appointments right there when you're looking at doctors. So you can read the reviews, schedule an appointment, check the insurance, all in one easy way. So no more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor you haven't even met yet.
Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book doctors in their neighborhood who are patient reviewed and fit their needs and schedule just right.
So go to ZocDoc.com/chaos and download ZocDoc app for free and then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours.
That's ZocDoc.com. ZocDoc.com/chaos. I had a pretty fun week. I went to two concerts.
Wow.
Which was awesome. Very different concerts. I went to Harry Styles. I was so blessed that I got to go see Harry Styles twice while he was in LA. And the two
right, the Halloween
say,
show, right?
Yeah. What'd you say?
The Halloween show was the one you saw before.
Yeah, I was going to say the two shows that I got to see were arguably his hardest shows to go to, which was his Halloween show and his last show in LA. He sold out 15 nights in LA.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing.
That is
wild. But yeah, for Halloween, he calls it Harryween because it's his Halloween show. I got to go with Jenna, and I know I talked about that on here. And then this time I went with a different friend, and we were in the pit. And so we were dancing in the pit, and there's this really fun dance that I guess fans created to do to one of his songs. And it's like a little line dance, and everyone's doing it, and it's so, so fun. And then I just had this like pure gratitude moment when he was singing What Makes You Beautiful from his One Direction days. And I was just dancing my heart out and singing / screaming. It was just like pure joy where I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. Like, I can't believe this is what my night looks like. Like I'm dancing awesome. With my friends and Harry Styles and just like, oh,
and
it was
his own private show.
Yeah, with you know, a few thousand other people, but like it was so, so fun. And it made me realize I do want to force myself to go out more because I've been kind of reclusive and I want to find the joy in like those moments and going out. And sure, every scene's not going to be your scene, but I want to be more attentive to finding fun parts of it. And then I also went to...
First of all, Harry Styles, before you leave this, he's so incredibly talented as obviously a singer, dancer, actor. I mean, this guy is like unbelievable. And he's equally popular, it seems, in every one of his chosen disciplines. Like, he's just rocking it.
Yeah, he's been very heavily influential in the music industry for like a decade.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's
just getting into acting more so.
All right.
So the second concert.
So the second concert I went to was my friend Jake's concert. We met, he featured on Jenna's song, See You Later. There was like a remix version where he featured on it. I guess it wasn't a remix. I don't know. I'm not in the music industry. and I was in the music video for that. And obviously Jenna and he was in it too. So we like shot in the desert north of LA or something for the day. And
I remember that.
Super amazing and super awesome. And so he had a show out here and we hadn't seen him since like that shoot day. And he sang So Will I during his set, which is a Christian song. And like, it was just so cool. Like, nobody does that. Like no non-Christian artist I've like heard of singing worship songs. Actually, Justin Bieber might have. But I just thought that was so cool and so bold of him. And like, yeah, just really awesome. Yeah,
that's cool.
Did a lot of people in the crowd know it?
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, the like writers of the song were there too, which was like an added cool bonus. You know, just things lining up.
Wow. That is really hip. I've been noticing a lot of those moments, like things lining up and showing up in my lives and kind of like
in your lives.
Know, your lives.
How many lives
my work life, my private life, my business life.
Okay, I gotcha.
No, in my life. You know, and I do think it's definitely directed by God. You know, like I've been learning a lot about sheep lately because
Jesus was a sheep herder. No, he wasn't.
Well, he is the shepherd, right? The great shepherd. Yeah. And no, he is. Yes. And Psalm 23 is something I referenced in one of my earlier weekly videos when I was talking about like the, what you get 1, 2, 3, 1, 2023. I made a reference to using the number 23 as inspiration for how you handle this year, like in different ways you could do that of like, you know, Michael Jordan was number 23. You can use the inspiration of how he played and how he worked and his work ethic and discipline, or Psalm 23 for those of us who like have an eternal perspective. And so shortly after I did that video, and then the third thing was, or just look at it like you get 1, 2, 3. You get one chance to live a year that ends in 2, 3. This is like your opportunity to seize this year because, and make it unique and make it special and make it count. So shortly after that, my friend Cliff gave me this book because I saw him at a randomly dropping some stuff off at Goodwill, and we went to coffee and he just handed it to me. And it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 2:3 by Philip Keller. Over 2 million copies sold, but this is a legitimate sheep herder who's also a Christian, who breaks down Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me to still waters and all of that. But he breaks it down from the perspective of like what it really means to herd sheep and to spend time with sheep and to look after them. And, you know, which was all part of the context because David, King David, who wrote Psalm 23, was a shepherd and knew that super well. And so you get the context of it and a little bit like, I don't know, a little bit like The Chosen. It's like personalizing something you've heard a million times and you're making it more real. So
cool.
It's definitely a good recommendation. I'm going to give it away after I read it.
So very Hunger cool. Games and the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like we're all getting into reading this year.
And just generally, I think I've been opening up more to like talking to people and in random moments, not necessarily making efforts to get out, like you mentioned, into social situations, although we've done some of that a little bit, but just kind of like being in situations and being open to the opportunity to talk to strangers and ask questions and, you know, open up their lives a little bit. I've really been making a more concerted effort of doing that in my travel versus like, you know, traveling with my blinders on. And I know I mentioned that to you and you said you had a kind of a different perspective on it that, what was that? What were you going to say?
Well, I like making connections, like personal connections and stuff, but in particular moments, like I just like in situations where maybe you're on a mission, you got things going through your mind, which is so yep. often of like when you're going someplace or when you're shopping or anything like that, that like, sure. I really don't feel the need to have conversations in the grocery store, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And people
totally.
Judging you on what brand of paper towels you buy.
I guess it's more like...
I hate that. No, yeah, I'm just too. Kidding.
I guess it's more about like just being open to it and not forcing it. And I'm that way a lot. And I have been in that tunnel vision mode. But I just kind of like started this recently and got to meet like an Uber driver in New Orleans who told me all about Honduras and what it's like being there and living there and people back home and the situation and like really educational stuff. Or just today I met a 95-year-old Korean War veteran because he wore a hat on, you know, that said Korean War vet. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's incredible.
What do you mean by that?
I said, do you stay in touch with other people you know who you've served with? And he's like, I'm kind of the last one.
Yeah, I was going to say 95, man. That'd be pretty amazing. Yeah, yeah, we all get together every Thursday and have beer.
Yeah, know? It's just me by myself. I mean, sometimes you just, you open up to it and people don't want to talk to you and that's fine. They're doing their own thing. But in general, I find it's pretty cool. And mostly people do want to like open up when you approach them in a friendly way or when you acknowledge something that they're doing. And I guess like
well,
anything
you're not
else,
digging into their personal lives, you're just reaching out and being friendly.
Sometimes I am not really, but I'll actually say to like someone at the hotel, I'll say, so what's it like working here? And how do you, you know, like what's this job like? And what do you right. like most about it? And like, and before long you can get into talking about people's families and things like that. It's like, it's fascinating. Anyway, the more you yeah. do it, the more,
and
the
I, more I practice do respect you get. That too. Because I think that there's so many stories that people are just waiting to, you know, be told. Like, that's how people's well, lives are carried on and everything. And just to learn more about the people around you, I do think that's really cool. I just get overwhelmed.
And to be seen, like, to be seen as a person yeah. rather than just as a role. Of like, I'm in this mode of your server or your cashier or your whatever.
Right.
Unless that's what they want to be. Like, because... they might be in the mood where they just want to be completely anonymous at that moment too.
Isn't that how it is? Fine too. More so that's in, totally. I forget. I saw a TikTok about it somewhere where it was like this one country where it was just normal for the service to be like, you don't really want to talk about it. You don't really want
oh yeah,
anything like that. Wait, why are you laughing?
I was remembering a story about when mom and I were in Greece.
Oh, I was remembering when we were in Alaska, but yeah.
Oh, okay. You go first, Alaska.
Well, I don't know if Maggie was talking about this, but like when we went to Alaska the first time and we went to a restaurant and we're waiting for the mountain to come out. That's what how they refer to it. You cannot see Denali. You can't see the top of it because the top is in the clouds. And so we kept, you know, all day long, we're looking out the window and then, you know, talking, whatever. The waitress comes over to take our order and literally sat down and just hung out with us for several minutes talking to us. And like literally she sat, I mean, sometimes they'll stand and chat, whatever. No, she sat in the booth with us. And I just thought that was so cool. It's like, man, Alaska is so laid back.
She ordered, we paid for it.
Yeah,
it was like,
no, I'm just kidding. But I thought that I never had that happen before or since, but I thought it was really, really cool. We're like, oh, this is what they do here. I like it. They're so friendly.
I was thinking about Greece when you asked our concierge, can you tell us some Greek? Like when we're out and about and we see somebody in the street passing and we're like, we just want to say hello and ask them how they are or anything like that.
Good morning.
They're good morning. And she said, no, you don't do that here.
They won't talk to you.
They won't talk to you.
And I was like, well, but if I'm just saying like, you know, good morning. No. They don't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah. Okay.
And she was right. She was so right. Like nobody was ever interested in talking to me, even when I was shopping in this guy's store for like 45 minutes trying to buy gifts and stuff. And so there was a lot of really interesting stuff. And I asked him a question and he always answered me, but he didn't offer anything else. He never got up. He never told me any more than what I specifically would ask. And so it was just indifference. It wasn't mean. he wasn't being like rude or hateful or anything like that. It was just total indifference. And was like, okay, that's you, you be you, man. That's why I love like going to South America or Central America. They're super, super friendly. Well, everywhere, a lot of places, but anyway.
A lot of places. They were really nice in Ocean City and Vegas. The red eye flight, you know, never a great experience, but it got me there and I had plenty of time, a little downtime before my speech. Ocean City is like a beach town in Maryland, close to like it's people from Baltimore or Pennsylvania or whatever would go there and just kind of like enjoy the summer. It's kind of sleepy this time of year. And the weather wasn't great. It was like foggy and cold and a little rainy this morning. And then I shot a weekly video.
In the rain and fog.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the rain. I got up at 6:15. I knew it was going to be cold. It was like 30 degrees or less and a little drizzly. But I thought, you know, I'd like to use the locations that I'm at to shoot the videos. And I was like, well, I wrote something. And so I'm going to shoot it here. And while I was out there, it started getting windier and it started raining. And then literally in the middle of one of the takes, the rain turns into snow and it starts snowing on me.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, just it's subtle, but we got it on the take. It's fun.
That's cool.
And I could actually feel the raindrops turn like to like hard ice. And then I could start to see them peripherally float. It was kind of funny.
I haven't seen snow in a while. I'm really excited. I'm going to see snow later this month. That's very, very exciting.
Where are you going to see snow this month?
I'm going to Utah.
Back to Utah.
Oh, that's right. Utah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say you can go see your brother. He's seen a lot of snow.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. He's probably snowed in all the time all on that mountain. All the time.
Man. Yeah.
Well, Mom, do you have some questions for us from listeners?
This was from a while ago, but I don't think we ever answered it. Irene asked, how did you guys get the idea of doing the questions and jump in the pool? Actually, it's push in the pool.
Yeah, the push in the pool videos. That was all Maggie, all her idea. And she could just convince me to do it. Yeah, go ahead, Maggie.
Yeah, I don't think there was really a specific plan. It was just, I think I just said, like, hi, I'm Maggie, this is my dad, and we're going to ask each other questions until one of us gets one wrong and pushes the other in the pool. And we did that, and it was, like, we had a lot of footage, and so I think it ended up being two parts. And then we're like, okay, I guess we should try it again and do a part three. And now we're on, like, part 58.
Yeah,
so incredible. In the beginning, were you guys just thinking up questions on the spot to try to catch each other?
I think you gave me a good enough heads up that I had three or four questions in mind.
The first one was very spontaneous.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes when we're making TikToks like that, or when we were spending a lot of time in the same city, we would just kind of move into creativity mode and just start trying something and see where it takes us. And a lot of really fun things came out of that, like you throwing the ice cream at me in the store and me juggling it and picking flavors. Like, remember that one?
Oh, that was in North Carolina?
No, we did that in Publix here in Georgia. And and you were just like, hey, Dad, here. And you started throwing me, asking him, what do you think? Oh, yeah. And she started throwing me different flavors. Like, which one do you think we should buy? And I juggled it and I threw two back and I was like, this one.
Yeah,
that was like just happened.
Yeah,
like
you guys exactly came home from the grocery store with a TikTok and ice cream. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. There was a, so at my speech in Vegas, Maggie, about the push in the pool videos, and Mom has another question about our relationship that came in. I had one of the best comments ever after a speech. And people were coming up talking to me about what I did and how it landed for them and stuff. And it was very satisfying. But then this guy named Jackson came up and he said, as you can tell, probably looking around the room, I'm one of the younger people in this sales force. And so I know you as Maggie's dad. That's like how I first got to know you. And I follow your daughter and I follow you. And so does my sister. And he said, I just wanted to tell you that your videos, you and your daughter's videos, helped in a big way my sister improve her relationship with our dad. They had a very like business-like relationship. They weren't close and literally, and I was like, what do you mean? Like, that's amazing. And he said, Well, it was the push in the pool videos, and they looked at that, and they looked at how much fun you were having together, and they went and they did that. Like, they did that. They literally went and did that themselves, and just learned how to play, like learned how to play so together cool. by watching our content. And there was that this other so woman, sweet. Right? Yeah. That and there was is. This other one when they were getting ready to talk to me. And she started crying and I started crying and she's like, I'm just so happy I was here to see that.
Aww, that's awesome. Aww.
So I just wanted to share that with you.
That is so kind.
There was another question from Jess who had asked, how do you both have such a close relationship as father and daughter? Have you always been like that?
I mean, yeah, as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure as long as you can remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously our relationship has changed a little bit just because getting older, you know, and there's a parental shift, you know, when kids get older where, yes, you're still the parents, but it's more of like we're adults now and stuff like that. Yeah. And so obviously there's those kind of life shifts. But yeah, I think we've always just had a ton of fun and that certainly has not changed.
Mm-hmm. I made a vow when I was young, and I've mentioned this before. Like, I noticed adults were dismissing me and not taking me seriously in terms of like how I could contribute to a conversation or an idea, or just like even kind of overlooking you completely. And I remember when I was younger, like vowing that I was not going to be that kind of adult. Like, I would always, when there's a kid in the room, I would always like look at the kid and value them and include them and connect with them in my own way. And so I think I took that into being a dad, like, and so did you, obviously, honey. I mean, our kids, we treated them.
To be a good dad. No, no. Yeah. I knew I wanted kids, but it wasn't until we actually had one. Then I was just like, this is what I was meant to do. I was meant to be a mom. And I loved every minute of raising you guys and love that we were still so involved in each other's lives. But yeah, I mean, I it was hard for me in cleaning out the stuff to go like, oh, here's some crafts we never got to. But we got to a lot of crafts. We did, you know, and we did activities. I mean, and when we would go out of town with you, while you're doing a speech or whatever, we're hitting the parks, we're going to the zoo, we're, you know, getting out and doing stuff. And just, and when you weren't home, I was taking pictures, I was making videos, I was, you know, keeping us all connected and, loving grabbing the opportunities. And I had made that decision actually when I was like 13 is to take advantage of opportunities. So like Maggie, you're talking about getting involved, going out and doing stuff more. And I love to be home too, but I also have to push myself and say, all right, here's this opportunity. I need to go do it. I know I will be better for it, happy for the experience. And, and that had every bit to do with raising kids. You know, we're doing scouts, we're doing piano, whether you wanted to or not. We're doing, but we did a lot of things. And
now you're an amazing mother. And I mean, just you blossomed as a mom. And that's such a cool thing as a husband to see this woman you love, this woman you married her because of who she is and how she and you work together in the world. But then when you see her become a mom, which is the kind of thing you could never like imagine, and to see her just be awesome at that. It's like, wow.
Well, same, right back at you. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah. We love being parents. Well, I think you guys are great parents. You know that.
Thanks. I mean, you guys are great kids too.
Yeah.
Thanks. And even a great adult kids.
I tried to be a good, easy kid. Sometimes.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I was not.
I would say the status of our relationship now is you're impressing me a lot with the choices you're making and the way that you handle things. You know, you're quick to acknowledge when, you know, you need to make an adjustment or correction, and you stand up for yourself. Even to me, when I'm making a suggestion or something and you're like, no, Dad, I don't think that's it. And I respect that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I do think like there's another level of that when you recognize I mean, I know you're an adult, you're 20 years old, and there's a certain level of wisdom and knowledge that comes with more decades of life. And I hope that you're still open to that. And I think you are still open to like our perspectives on things. And you ask us all the time what we think about life, like suggestions. Yeah.
I know I've told both of you this, but this past week it has been like the most confrontational week of my life. Yeah. Where I've just had to have like a lot of hard conversations. Mm. And I'm not a confrontational person. I tend to either push things down or just let them go because it feels easier than like having a hard conversation. But no, I've stood up for myself a lot this week, and I like was talking about this in therapy yesterday, but like I've learned that just because I've said I'm not a confrontational person, which I don't think I am, I can still be it when like that's what I need. And like you said, like stand up for myself, and I can have those hard conversations even though they are hard. And so that's been like such a learning thing this week. So I'm a little exhausted emotionally, but
I remember also, one thing you told me when you were going to pickleball, you were like, I decided I'm only going to have one of those conversations per day. Like, yeah. I don't want to do it all in one day, 'cause I think that would wreck me emotionally. But I thought that was good. And then anything else about that process that surprised you? Like, did you find people receptive to your perspectives?
Yeah. Most of the conversations I went into, 'cause there were like three or four, I had a pretty good idea of how they were going to go. One of them was completely up in the air, where I was like, they could either gaslight me or profusely apologize. And they apologized. And actually every single conversation I've had so far, they've apologized.
Wow.
Which, yeah. And I think it just goes to show like people can surprise you, but also like, it's not that surprising. Because if I hurt someone who I cared about and they came to me and told me that I hurt them, of course I would be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, obviously I didn't want to hurt you.
Right.
But like, how can I change that? How can I win back your trust? And so right. that was really encouraging to receive that. And that's not always the case, because a lot of times people do get defensive and, you know, gaslight. But if their heart's in the right place and they really do care about you, I think a lot of the times when people find out they've hurt you, and to go at it about that way, not like you did this, this, and this, but like this hurt me when you did this, is such a, I feel like, more genuine way to go about it, and like harder to refute on the other side. Sure.
I mean, yeah, you can't really argue with it. You could just, I mean, like you said, I didn't intend that. But the other reason why that's just so impressive and important is the other alternative is you don't have the conversation and you blow, you know, you just like bury it down or push it down in your psyche and you're like, whatever. And then something else happens and then something else happens. And all this accumulated baggage within the relationship builds up to some point where either you lash out at this person or cut them off completely. And now that's the pattern of your relationship versus like this very intentional mode of saying like, all right, we're going to be in each other's lives for a while. Let's figure this out so that we don't have to go through it again and again.
Yeah. And you don't have to be, you know, there's a way different than being picky and like, and I don't like it when you do this. And I don't think you should do that. And that's way different than when you're feeling like somebody's really hurt you either intentionally or unintentionally. And so I hate the term confrontational, because it's more of just sharing with somebody something that was becoming a problem. And by voicing that and having that conversation, you diffused it, and you know, the relationship should be stronger for it.
Well, yes, but sometimes you can also have to be confrontational about things that people have blatantly done wrong. But the other thing I was going to say that I've learned through all this Because again, a lot of my situations have been drastically different from one another. But one of the big lessons I've learned is I can't be mad at someone for doing something that bothers me that I have not told them bothers me.
Right.
I can't expect them to know that. If you tell them, hey, this really upsets me, and they continue to do it, then hey, that's a different story. But if I just push everything down and don't tell someone that something's bothering me, then that's not on them. That's actually on me. So
yeah,
lots of lessons this week.
That's good. That's next level maturity. Snaps on that.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right. Well, this has been very wonderful and insightful. And I think I've got to get some rest eventually.
Yeah, go to sleep.
Are you sure you don't have to go back to the airport?
Not today. Not tomorrow.
Hey, don't even worry, Dad. I got this outro. Thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast today. We have enjoyed you listening and you contributing. If you'd like to contribute any more, ask any questions, you can do that at wholesomechaos.com. Ask us a question and we might answer it next week. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So we will see you next week. I don't do the outros that much. I'm repeating myself a lot. But we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Thanks. I love you guys.
Great job, Maggie.
Thank you.
We love you too. And love you, everyone. Have a great week. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos.
So Maggie, we're going to build bookshelves.
Okay.
We're going to build a whole wall of bookshelves in the basement.
Like mom's dream library?
Mom's dream library.
I hypnotized him.
And we're going to, we got thousands of books from her dad. And suddenly I woke up and decided that was going to be a good idea. And if I have the chance to give my woman her dream library, then we should definitely do that.
Oh, I got this recorded. It's going to happen, baby.
Hey, that could make some very interesting TikTok content.
Yep.
Yep.